God, we do continue to praise and thank you for your indescribable gift in Christ. As we go deeper into the riches of it today through the preached word, help us to receive what you want to give, and help us to give of what we receive. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I got an email advertisement with a simple but potentially expensive message. Give thanks. Start shopping. The start shopping part was obviously a reference to Black Friday, which as a single day has now come and gone, but as a season, which it is now, it's far from gone. Like so many other parts of our lives, Black Friday this time around was altered by the realities of COVID-19. Lots of people shifted to online shopping instead of going into the stores. Nowadays, it's less about you going to the merchant and more about the merchandise coming to you. And yet, even under pandemic conditions, Black Friday still sets in motion a wave of commerce that can easily overwhelm us. All kinds of things get swept up into the pattern and flow of spending and gift giving, including Thanksgiving Day itself. I know this year it was different in lots of ways. In other ways, it may have been similar to what you've experienced before. It was a feast to some degree with family or friends, maybe even a smaller group this year. But at least in the past, it's also been a day to strategize, to plan, to prepare, a day to double check the sales ads, a day to clarify maybe your shopping list, a day to decide how early you were going to set your alarm clock if you had made plans to go out any, a day to map out your route from store to store. Of course, now under these circumstances, the route is greatly simplified. Get up, go to couch, put laptop on your lap, position laptop, start shopping. That's often the route these days. With stores available online 24/7, I think it's now even harder not to go with the flow of holiday spending. Which doesn't mean that I'm saying that we should all just lock away our cash and throw your credit cards into that crackling holiday fire. There's really nothing wrong with some spending and some giving. I'm simply saying that we have to be on guard against getting caught up in the mounting pressure to get out there, or at least this time around, to log in as fully devoted consumers, ready to do whatever it takes to find the best deal, to move the merchandise. There's a great pressure and a flow of that that begins this time of the year in our lives. Actually, as people who've already given ourselves to the Lord, we're already caught up in a great flow of giving. It's not the kind that starts with markdowns in aisle 10, but the great flow of giving that begins with God himself. Now, it's true that God is many things to us. God is Savior. God is Father. God is Ruler. God is Redeemer. God is Shepherd. God is Comforter. God is Sustainer. But remember that God is also fundamentally a giver. The God who called and formed his people Israel, the God who's revealed himself to us most fully in Jesus Christ, is God the giver. And that's a big part of what Thanksgiving is all about that we've just experienced. Thanks is something that we give to God in response to what God has given to us. He's the source of our life, the source of our blessings, the very fact that the world exists. That you and I exist is a solid sign of the fact that we're in relationship with a God who creates, and creating is a form of giving. He both makes us and provides for us. He, not ourselves, is responsible for all that we are and all that we have, and that's all because God, who is free to choose to create or not create, chooses to create. And that's an act of giving. In today's scripture passage, Paul says that this God who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Now, harvest is Paul's way in this case of talking about how the Corinthians' gifts will benefit others and bless others. Remember that at this point in his letter, Paul is pushing his ongoing stewardship campaign. This time it's not to try to fund the church budget or to fix a broken boiler or something like that, but to provide for the needs of impoverished Christians, brothers and sisters in the faith in the city of Jerusalem. Paul's been working on this collection now for a while. At first, the Corinthians jumped at the opportunity. They gave with enthusiasm, but now their energy has waned. A lot of their generosity seems to have dried up. So Paul is trying to reignite some of their passion for this project. Basically, he wants them to finish what they started. And one of the ways Paul tries to persuade the Corinthians to donate is by reminding them that God provides for them so that they can give to others. In verse 8, after stressing how God loves a cheerful giver, Paul tells them, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." And then a couple of verses later, Paul says, "You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion." Now, it's hard to tell whether Paul thinks that generous giving assures the giver of a material blessing themselves. I don't think Paul is pushing a prosperity gospel in this particular text, but he doesn't rule out the possibility that if you're generous with what God gives you, don't be surprised if God gives or entrusts more to you to give, because you're generous with it. That could be part of what Paul is affirming here. But one thing is for sure, and that is God will provide for the needs of his people for the sake of others. Not simply to provide for his people, but for the sake of others. Whether you have just enough or whether you have more than enough, God's purpose is that those resources flow not only to you, but through you to others, for the sake of others. That's why Paul uses a potent little phrase in our scripture passage today. Sounds simple, easy to overlook, but is really important. So that. Go back to our text. God will make grace abound to you so that you will abound in every good work. You will be made rich so that you can be generous. If so that weren't in the picture, you see, if that were taken out, then God's gifts could just go from God to us and stop there. But that's not God's purpose or God's will, we're told. They could flow from God to us and go no further. They would be exclusively for our needs and for our benefit, but that's not how God wants things to work. That's not what God, the giver, intends, Paul says. God, the giver, who has made us in his image, who intends to restore his image in us through Jesus Christ, intends for us to be givers, not just receivers. He doesn't just want us to flourish. He wants others to flourish. You saw some of that in our missions video today, in the kind of example of gifts given to be given, to flow to others so that they in their lives can find healing and hope and flourishing. One of the primary ways God accomplishes that purpose is by having his blessings flow not just to us, but flow through us on the way to somebody else. That's how it works. In his book, Free of Charge, Miroslav Wolf talks about how God gives to us and how we should give. He stresses that God blesses us so that we can share with others. And he puts it this way: to the extent that we are channels of gifts, however, We can't just do with them as we please. They come to us, and I like the way he puts this, they come to us with an ultimate name and address other than our own, though in our hands, they're on their way somewhere else. And the question becomes, do we give in ways that enable them to get to where God really intends them to be? God has made us, we're told, to be channels of his gift giving. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't benefit some from the gifts to the extent that we ourselves receive them. The gifts could be things like material needs, food, shelter, income, money to pay the bills. The gifts could be something less material, like ideas or a skill or a talent or a passion. Gifts could be capacities, like just having physical strength and health as a gift that you can share with others. We can enjoy these gifts, that's true, even as we're giving them away and passing them on to others so that they can be blessed too. Pastor Charles Stanley tells about one of his favorite Christmas experiences. One of his best memories came, he says, when he was 5 years old and he got his first train set, which he kept until he was in college, finished college. And he said that when his own son Andy was little, one of the things that Charles looked forward to most was getting Andy his first train set, which came at Andy's fourth Christmas. He gave Andy his first train set. They were assembling it together, and Charles was showing Andy, you know, how the engine works. They were assembling the tracks, and Andy could pick up on the fact that Charles, his dad, was really into this as well. So he said, "Daddy, did God or did Santa give you this train set, or did he give it to me?" You see, though they both immensely enjoyed it together, here was a gift that was intended for Andy, but Charles was enjoying it so much, or maybe more, that he would eventually need to learn to pass it on. Maybe you've had experience with one of those gifts that's really for somebody else, but you've gotten so into it that it's hard for you to let it go and let the real receiver take full possession of it because you were into it in some way as well. So it is with God's gifts. The main thing is that they didn't come from within ourselves, and they aren't meant just for ourselves, but for others. In today's scripture passage, Paul wants the believers there in Corinth to remember that whatever their level of abundance, whether they have a lot or a little or something in between, what they have has been given by God in Christ. And it's not all supposed to stay there with them. A lot of it is actually intended for their impoverished brothers and sisters in Christ in the church in Jerusalem. And by not giving as they should, the Corinthians are actually, in a strange, sad way, they're holding up or blocking the flow of God's giving that he wants to bless others with. Instead, what the Corinthians need to do is to be what God intends them to be, channels for God's gifts, which are trying to flow on their way to Jerusalem to bless others for their sake. Mark Tidd tells about an experience that he and some friends had when they were in college. They had rented a house together, and one day an old man showed up there at their house. They said his eyes were glassy and his furrowed face glistened with silver stubble. That's the way they described it. He clutched a wicker basket full of some unimpressive vegetables and offered them some to buy. And so they put together some money and bought a little bit, partly, I think, he says, to alleviate both their pity and their fear. And to their chagrin, this man returned next week to their place. That's when they realized that that look in his eyes wasn't from alcohol, it was from cataracts. And on subsequent visits, they said, he would shuffle in wearing two mismatched right shoes, and puff out gospel songs on a harmonica, and with those eyes sort of gaze to glory, declaring hope, puffing out old gospel tunes in between conversations about vegetables and religion. And during one of his visits, the old man said to him, "You know what? The Lord is so good. I came out of my little shack this morning, and there on the front porch was a bag of clothes and shoes." "That's wonderful," said Mark and his friends. "We're happy for you." "You know what's even more wonderful?" said the old man. "Just yesterday, I met somebody who could really use it." See, here was a man who had very little, yet saw what he had as abundance enough to take what he was given and pass it on to others. I'll go back to Miroslav Wolf, who says, "Things I am given are not just mine. Even if they are in my hands, some of them belong to my neighbors in need. I have an obligation to pass them on. If I block the flow of God's gifts, I haven't just failed the giving God. I've also failed the intended recipients. They have a right to the gifts, and I have an obligation to give." During this season, when it's easy to get caught up in the flow of wanting more than we need, or giving to those who already have, may we ourselves go with the flow of God's blessings. Not hoarding for ourselves, but being channels of his gifts so that those blessings can get to others who need them in order to flourish, and so that they can arrive to others for their sake, so that the grace of God can reach its intended recipients. And as we do that, as we become channels for God's gifts and graces and blessings, this will, we're told in our scripture today, result in supplying the needs of others. And it'll bring about great thanks and praise and glory to God, the giver. Let's pray. Oh, generous God, giver of so many blessings, we realize that we owe our existence and all that we have to you. You're the source of our life, source of our salvation through Jesus Christ. So guide and enable us now by your Spirit to live out our salvation by the way that we give. During this season, when it's so easy to get caught up in the flow of spending and giving or gathering for ourselves, help us to be channels through which your blessings and your gifts can flow to the benefit and flourishing of others. We just pray these things now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, your indescribable gift to us. Amen.